I'd like to invite you this morning over to the book of Daniel, chapter 2, verse 47. The book of Daniel, chapter 2, verse 47. Daniel, chapter 2, verse 47 reads this way. It says, "The king answered unto Daniel and said, Of a truth it is that your God," capital G, "is a God," capital G again, "of gods," lowercase g, "and Lord of kings, and a revealer of secrets, seeing thou couldest reveal this secret." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne this morning. Lord, we do thank you for your word. We do thank you for your work in revealing truths and opening up hearts and minds to see you and understand what life really is all about. Lord, may we seek you this morning. May you bless each and every one for being in your house. Bless us, Lord, with your Holy Spirit. Give us understanding and wisdom that comes from you and not ourselves or the world. And we'll give you all the praise, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message this morning is simply, "Of a truth it is that your God is a God of gods." Or simply put, what does it take to see the truth? What does it take to see the truth? And I'll give you the answer to that question: God. It takes God for you and I to understand the truth. Many times we can see the truth right in front of us, but unless God opens up our understanding, we'll miss it completely and miss out on what God has for us. So we are very dependent upon the Lord. And so as we consider our text here this morning, I want to cause you to ask yourself this question. What is it that those in Daniel chapter 2 were seeing? What were they seeing? And different lives we'll look at. We'll look at what the king was seeing. We'll look at what his wise counselors were seeing. But we'll also look at what Daniel and his friends were seeing, because it's very relevant today in the fact that we need to be careful about what we are seeing. Are we seeing things that are coming from the Lord, or are we seeing what the world is doing and what the world is concerned about and what the world is fretting over, or are we seeing what God is wanting to show all of his children? And so we'll look at that here in just a moment. You don't have to turn there. You're welcome to. But I want to remind us of something here as we consider our text this morning, and that is a reminder again of who is the church. We are the church. That's important. We're the church. And specifically here at Northwood Baptist Church, we are the church. And God has empowered the church to perform a function. But the church has to be reminded to seek God for that power, because it's a daily thing. It's not a one-time forgotten, you know, oh, it's been forgiven and we're all right now. But listen to the commission of the Lord's church. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, it says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven," right? And because of that, he says, and in earth, in heaven and earth, he says, "Because of that, go ye therefore." Why is it therefore? Because all power has been given unto the Lord in heaven and in earth. So now he's telling the church, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." And this is important. This is the commission. We call this the Great Commission that was given not to the apostles, but to the Lord's local New Testament church. And so because it was given to the church, a lot of people say, "Well, yeah, that's definitely the Great Commission given to the church, but the church started on Pentecost." How could that be? Amen. How could that be? The church was in existence since the very beginning of the Lord's earthly ministry, and the apostles were the first disciples and church members of the Lord's local New Testament church. So here's the question for you to answer yourself: how well are you carrying out the Great Commission? How well are you carrying to share the gospel, the good news? And so we ought to call upon the Lord and say, "Lord, help me to be faithful to you." Now, the church has provided tracts on the back wall there, and it's important. I would encourage you to ask the Lord to help you hand out one tract to one person this week. "Lord, just help me to be faithful to you in handing out one tract to somebody that will at least have the gospel in their hands. May their blood not be on our hands that we never told them what the truth is." And so there wouldn't be anything wrong with handing out more than one tract in one day or throughout the week. There's no set rule on that, but may we be faithful to the Lord and walk and follow his commandments that he's given to his church. Now back to our text here. And again, the question is, what does it take to see the truth? And what were people seeing in this account here in the book of Daniel chapter 2. Well, let's back up here to verse 1 of chapter 2, and let's take notice here of a troubled spirit. Verse 1 of chapter 2 says this: "In the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams wherewith his spirit was troubled." So he's got a troubled spirit, and not so much so that his sleep break from him is what the verse tells us there at the end. "Then the king commanded to call the magicians and the astrologers and the sorcerers and the Chaldeans to show the king his dreams. So they came and stood before the king." So the king makes a command and everybody's standing there. So what is the king seeing, and what are these counselors seeing? Well, they're not seeing the Lord for sure. And so, and by the way, the Lord was working. This dream came to Nebuchadnezzar by the Lord. The problem was he went to the wrong source for the answer. Amen? And you and I, listen, we've been given a creation. We've been created. We've been given a purpose. But you'll never find the answer to God's purpose in your life outside of God. You'll never find that. There are a lot of people in this world that think that they're pretty smart, and maybe academically they may be, but the Bible says concerning spiritual things, they're fools, because they, what do they say? There is no God. There is that would be like me telling you, there are no car manufacturers. There are no car manufacturers. Ignore all those vehicles that you see out in the parking lot. They just made themselves. There are no car manufacturers. And you'd say, you've got to be out of your mind. Amen? And you'd be right in that. Notice the king's command. He commands all these people to come. Verse 3, "And the king said unto them, I have dreamed a dream." This is the truth. "And my spirit was troubled to know the dream." This is also the truth. "Then spake the Chaldeans to the king in Syriac, O king, live forever. Tell thy servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation." Now, do you think these people really believed they understood, they knew? They may have thought so. I'll give them that much. But there's no way they were going to understand, even if the king told them what the dream was. But God set it up in such a way that the answer was never going to come from the world. Listen, the Lord God gave us his son, and the world will never understand the purpose of the Lord Jesus Christ coming into this world outside of God's revelation. They'll never, listen, oh yes, he was a historical figure. Yes, he was born a Jew. And yes, he lived in Bethlehem or born in Bethlehem. We'll go along with all of that. But they do not understand the need for salvation outside or apart. They'll recognize him as an historical figure, but they will miss the purpose of God's plan every time, as you and I will as well. Even as children of God, we need the Lord to reveal to us and give us wisdom and understanding concerning his word. So he says, "I want you to show me the interpretation." And they said, "Okay, tell us the dream." Verse 5, "The king answered and said to the Chaldeans, the thing is gone from me." I can't remember it. But listen, he did remember this. It bothered him. Amen? He did remember that it was important enough that he needed an answer because he was not resting. "The thing is gone from me. If ye will not make known unto me the dream with the interpretation thereof, ye shall be cut in pieces and your houses shall be made a dunghill." That's pretty strong. So this king was bothered by the King of Kings. Amen? And he could find no rest, and he was willing to put to death all of his counselors. Now, these are the counselors that he I don't know, listen, I don't know if this was all set up before his kingship. Again, this is the second year that he was reigning as king, and these counselors just kind of came along with the position, or if he set them up personally. But needless to say, he was not happy with their answer. He was losing his faith in the world. Listen, nobody can come to God unless they put their faith and trust in the Lord God and his word over that what the world is trying to profess and proclaim. And so we find here that he says, okay, then you guys are going to be finished. But then he says, verse 6, "But if you show the dream and the interpretation thereof, ye shall receive of me gifts and rewards and great honor. Therefore, show me the dream and the interpretation thereof." I'm giving you a great deal. You can't refuse. Amen? I'm going to give you such a great deal that I'm going to bless you or you're going to die. That's a crazy deal. But they were considering that. And notice their answer in verse 7. "They answered again and said, let the king tell his servants the dream and we will show the interpretation of it.
The king answered and said, I know of a certainty that you would gain the time because you see the thing is gone from me. But if you will not make known unto me the dream, there is but one decree for you have prepared what? Lying. You know what he's saying? You guys are frauds. You guys are fakes. You're wanting me to give you the dream. And he's saying of a truth, listen, it's gone from me. But you want me to give you the dream so you can make up some interpretation that comes out of the thin air that's not going to come of the truth. And so he says to them, you've prepared lying and corrupt words to speak before me. Till the time be changed, therefore tell me the dream, and I shall know ye can show me the interpretation thereof. Did you see what he's saying? Now, if you can tell me the dream, then I'll believe your interpretation. By the way, I would dare say that'd be a good practice. Amen. Somebody says, well, I've dreamed a dream, right? Well, then for the individual to tell you the dream and the interpretation, well, that's no great mystery there. They're telling you, listen, you can eat pizza late at night and have a bad dream. And there's a lot of people going, oh, listen, this is what this means. If it's not coming from the Lord, then it's a fake. It's not the real thing. But this here in particular is coming from God to this, by the way, listen, to this pagan king. Listen, God deals in the affairs of mankind. You know that God is in control of everything. He's in control of this king who was the world power in his day. And by the way, listen, God is in control in China. God is in control in Russia. God is in control in the whole world. And you know what that ought to do for every child of God? Peace. Peace. Even if the world is flipped upside down, everything is on course according to the Lord. Everything will follow suit exactly as God has said it. Who would have ever dreamed, say, 1,500 years ago, that Israel was going to be back in its home state, amen, in the promised land that God gave to them, not to the Palestinians, right? And that might be, oh, my, Brother George, you don't know what you're saying. Yes, I do. I'm saying what the Word of God is teaching. And here's the whole thing. You can look it up. I think Mark Twain went over there in the 1800s, and he says, Israel is a desert wasteland and a shame. And he was not a godly individual, in case you didn't know. And he was saying it was a disgrace. Look it up. You'll see what he said about it. He went over there. And so it was a desert place. Then God brought in 1940, started in 47, 48, God brought them back in there and they cultivated a desert wasteland. And then other Arabs started coming in because there were jobs, there were different, they were being fruitful. And so God, listen, even before we would have ever dreamed about it, brought Israel back into its home nation. And not only that, but now they are the focal point, and now the enemies around them are wanting them gone. You know what? Just like the Bible said it would happen. Just like the Word of God said that they were going to all rise up against them. And as far as the timing goes, that's all in God's hands. But I don't know about you. I can see clearly that things are happening exactly as the Bible says it is concerning all of the enemies. And that God would protect them all the way around the world. And so here they are. All kinds of people are rising up in different nations against Israel. They're the aggressors. They're the bad people. You know, just like the Bible said. They are fulfilling Scripture. And I promise you, listen, they didn't come up with this idea. You know what? Let's go attack Israel so we can follow suit with what the Word of God says. That was not their plan, but God saw it in eternity past. Before it ever even happened, before mankind was ever even created, I put my assurance and my trust and my faith in the Word of God above everything else. Amen. And so as you consider this, here they are, and this dream has been given. And he says, you've prepared lying before me. Verse 10, notice what the Chaldeans say. And again, keep this thought in mind. What is it in this account of Daniel chapter 2 that these people are seeing? Well, the first thing I can tell you is the king's not seeing the Lord, and neither are the Chaldeans. But I will tell you this, the Chaldean astrologers and counselors, they're seeing the end of their days coming to pass very shortly. So they're concerned. Verse 10, the Chaldeans answered before the king and said, there is not a man upon the earth that can show the kings matter. Is that true?
Yes.
Well, there's not a man, but there was Daniel, wasn't there? So they're saying, listen, I want you to know, nobody can tell the king this understanding. But they were wrong, weren't they? In fact, look what they say. Therefore, there is no king, lord, nor ruler that asketh such things at any magician or astrologer or Chaldean. Nobody's asking this. Nobody's doing this. You know what he's trying to tell them? You're in a very small minority here. You might ought to change your mind because you're being unreasonable. Do you think this king cared about what everybody else was doing? He said, nope. Listen, I want this interpretation. Look, in fact, what they say here in verse 11. And it is a rare thing that the king requireth. I'll agree with them on that. And there is none other that can show it before the king except the gods whose dwelling is not with flesh. Now that's wrong too, because that gods is lowercase g. The gods that they worship. So they were dead wrong on that. There is a God though. There is a God who can give the interpretation, and he will do it through a man. And we know that the account is true. And so here's the world's ignorance, really, concerning the truth. They're saying, nobody can give this answer to you. And in fact, the answer lies with the lowercase g, gods. And now the Lord is going to speak to them and help them to understand that there is a God in heaven. That was God's purpose the whole time this upsetting dream was given to Nebuchadnezzar, so that it can gain understanding and proclamation. Listen, for hundreds of years, this account has been recorded for people to see. It wasn't just for his nation, for his people, but for the whole world to see the mercy and grace of God. So look at Daniel's humble assurance of God in verse 14. Then Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, which was gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. So this was his purpose. And he comes to Daniel and he says, listen, the king's ordered you guys to be executed. Then he says, well, hey, listen, why is this so hasty? Verse 16, then Daniel went in and desired of the king. So this news comes from Arioch. And now Daniel, where do you find Daniel? He's listen, you remember Daniel? You remember that the king found them fairer and better than all the other counselors? So now his best counselor comes before the king and says, wait a minute, king. Verse 16, then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time and that he would show the king the interpretation. Now, wait a minute. Did you catch that? He didn't say, now listen, I think I can find out the answer. No. He said, I will find out the answer. See, that's the kind of assurance that God wants all of his people to believe in that comes from him. Listen, if you go forth and you sow the seed of God, it will bring forth fruit. If you seek God, God will bear fruit in your life. If you abide in him and he abides in us, and you'll bear more fruit and you'll bear much fruit. That's the promise of God. But if we walk in with this idea, well, I think this might, is that faith? Jesus said, believe what you asked for, that you receive it and you'll have it. If you believe, especially the promises of God. People say, well, does that mean that I can ask God for this and for that? Ask him for what he's already told us he would give us. Let's get our eyes off of ourselves and on our God, and let's start asking him to fulfill that which he's promised to work out in your life and mine, that will cause us to be in awe and have a confidence in God that will enable us to stand in the day when we need him. Amen? This was a day. Did Daniel know? Listen, question. Did Daniel know this day was coming in his life? The answer is no. He did not know it. But he did know where he needed to go every time there was a problem in his life. And so here's the problem. But he had the confidence of God. David also had the confidence of God, did he not, when he stood up against Goliath? Why? Because of what he experienced with the lion and the bear. And why was Joseph able to go through all that he went through in Egypt? Because God has solidified his heart in the truth. Listen, we cannot be a spectator in the life of faith and expect the faith of God to grow in our lives. Listen, God says to prove him and he will show you. That's where faith comes from. He says, jump into my arms and experience what I will do when you do that. And I will give you a confidence that only comes from him. You are hearing the truth, but here's the question. Will you apply the truth to believe God and prove God concerning the truths of God's word? This is how it's happening in the life of David. This is how, listen, time and time again, there was always a proving. God would always give them a trial, if you will, and they would prove God. That's the same way it's going to happen for us. God says, okay, here's what I've asked you to do. I've asked you to love me with all of your heart, all of your mind, and all of your soul. And if you will abide in me, I will abide in you. And we, the believer, ought to ask the Lord, what does that mean? What does it mean? What does it mean for you personally to abide in Christ? Does it mean to never open up the Bible? Does it mean for, if you abide in him and I abide and he abides in us, does that mean that we never call upon him? What can we expect if we never open up the word of God where faith comes from and we never call upon the Lord to do something? What will you and I have concerning our relationship with the Lord? Nothing. You may be a saved child of God and praise God and give God the glory for that. But God says, that is not what I've called for you. That's not why I called you and placed you in the heirship with my son. I've called you, listen, is it not true, to glorify his name. And not in our strength ever. We don't have it. We don't, listen, it would be worse than having a five-year-old go out for a pro football game. They would be murdered. Amen? You and I are weaker than a five-year-old trying to go out for a pro football game. So may we never look. It would be ridiculous. God would never intend for you and I to face the devil, the world, and the flesh in our strength. That would be suicide for sure. Failure for sure. But God says all authority was given to who? And power. To who? To him. And because of that, you can go forward. And likewise, Daniel understood that. This was nothing new. Anybody and everybody that ever did anything for the Lord to his honor and glory was by the power of God. Never on their own. So he says, I will let you know. And God already solidified that. But does that mean he just sat down and did nothing? Look at verse 17. Then Daniel went into his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, the three Hebrew children. Guys, we've got a prayer meeting. Why didn't he call everybody else? Because he knew the spiritual temperature was cold. There were these three that he knew were walking with God. You know what? Listen, you and I ought to seek friendships with people that are walking with the Lord. That for them to live is Christ. Because we need God. And we might be needing him more so than we've ever thought before. And so he says, hey, listen, I've got something to tell you, verse 18, that they would desire the mercies of God. Do you know what you and I need today? The mercies of God. The mercies of God. That they would desire the mercies of God, of heaven, concerning this secret. And by the way, listen, we need the mercies of God concerning anything concerning the Lord. All of the promises, Lord, I am petitioning you. That's faith. That God is real. I'm going to call upon you, Lord, to show me what you've called for me to be and to do in my life that I know I can't do. I cannot go out there like a five-year-old against a pro team. I cannot. And listen, it's worse than that. You and I are no match, listen, for the devil, the flesh, or the world. No match at all. We will fail every time. And if we're failing, chances are 100% we're not looking to God. Not 99.9, 100%. Because God, did God call you and I to fail? Is that the kind of God you serve? Then if there's spiritual failure, what's the problem? It's not with God. Never with God. That they would desire the mercies of God of heaven concerning the secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Daniel could have done some manipulation here, but he was led of the Spirit. And I want you to see the way that the Lord works. Daniel, and I'm going to get a little bit ahead of myself here, when he revealed the dream to Nebuchadnezzar, he didn't say, now wait a minute, destroy the Babylonian astrologers, and then I'll tell you the dream. That's not the Lord. Why? Because God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should see him for who he is. And that is the Savior of the world. And so now we find God's great faithfulness received. We see Daniel's humble assurance of God. He knew it. It wasn't a question in his heart and mind. He knew it. And now we see God's great faithfulness revealed. Look at verse 19. These fellows got together. They sought the Lord for his mercies. And what happened? Then was the secret revealed. Do you know when you and I will see the grace of God working in our lives? When we call upon the Lord, then we'll see it. It will never happen just because you're a child of the King. If you're here and you've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ and his blood sacrifice and that alone, you're a child of the King of Kings. You are a joint heir with the Lord Jesus Christ. But that does not guarantee you the mercies and grace of God until you see your need and then bring it before the Lord. See, Daniel had a need, did he not? The three Hebrew children had a need that they would not perish with the others. Amen? How about the church of God? Do we have a need that we don't perish and follow the same place and the same path that this world is headed towards death? Lord, do we not need your mercies today that we might not fall into the same direction that the world is headed into? So then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. You know what we call that? Worship. Worship, praise God. Amen? You know what ought to be on the lips of God's people? Praise God. Amen? But here's the problem. If God is not doing anything, there's no cause to praise. See, listen, this problem caused them to go to the Lord. And in going to the Lord, God gave an answer that brought praise to their lips. I don't know about you, but I need the Lord. I don't need the Lord just for eternal life. I do need him for eternal life. But I need the Lord today and every day. But if I don't call upon him, does that honor him? Not even in the slightest. So he says, verse 20, Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, who for wisdom and might are whose?" They're his. Listen, for wisdom and might are his. Do you think that we as believers can keep the commandments of God? Not in our strength. I need to go to the Lord and say, Lord, give me your wisdom and your might to let you do the work. That I might never lift my hand to touch those things that are holy. You want to work through my life. And so here we find God's great faithfulness revealed to them. Then notice again, and by the way, they're praising the Lord. Verse 21, and he listen to what he's saying. And he changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. And he giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. Do you think these guys had some confidence in their God? Do you think any one of them ever placed any confidence in themselves? Let me ask you that again. Do you think Daniel and his three friends ever placed any confidence in themselves and their own abilities? Neither should we. Neither should we. The light dwells with him. I thank thee, verse 23, and I praise who? God, thee. O thou God of my fathers, who hast given me wisdom and might, and hast made known unto me now what we desired of thee, for thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter. Wow. They were impressed with God. They knew where it came. See, that requires humility. Because here's the news, we don't have it. We don't have it. We can't do it. So what does Daniel do? Verse 24. Therefore, because God did all that, he was able to approach the world. Amen? Amen. Therefore, he was able to face the trial. He was able to face the difficulty that entered into his life with God's answer. Verse 24. Therefore, Daniel went in unto Arioch, whom the king had ordained to destroy the wise men of Babylon. And he went in and said thus unto him, destroy not the wise men of Babylon. Bring me before the king, and I will show unto the king the interpretation. Now, I want you to know something that you may already have suspected. These false Babylonian counselors were probably pretty happy. They were happy that they were wrong about saying that there's no one that can tell you this interpretation. They were rooting for Daniel. Wait a minute. They didn't like Daniel, but they were rooting for Daniel. So here we find Daniel's qualification of God's answer. Look at verse 25. Then Arioch brought in Daniel before the king in haste. Arioch didn't want to see this all take place either. He says, man, oh man, Daniel, praise your God. Amen? Do you know if God would use us to his honor and glory to share the truth about eternal life to the lost soul? Do you know that the lost soul would praise our God because they would become a child of God, but they would praise God because somebody was willing and cared enough to share the truth with them? So he comes in haste and said thus unto him, verse 25, I have found a man of the captives of Judah. Now this king already knew it. How did the king already know it? Because Daniel already went in and said, give me some time, didn't he? Give me some time. And so he says, hey, listen, I found a man, verse 25, of the captives of Judah that will make known unto the king the interpretation. The king answered and said to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, art thou able to make known unto me the dream which I have seen and the interpretation thereof? That's a serious question to him. He was excited. And I want you to see how Daniel answers this. This is so important. Verse 27, Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, the secret, it was a secret, which the king hath demanded, cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers show unto the king? That was an important truth. You know what he was saying? You went the wrong way. You will never find that answer with them. You will never find what really matters to mankind with the world or the wisdom of the world. You know, you will never find the answers of life on any news station. None. They will never give you the answers. You know what they will bring? Discord in our hearts and minds. It would be better for us to spend more time in the Word of God and give them less time, if any at all. I'm not saying that we should be ignorant of current events, but I would just tell you, they'll never bring peace into your heart and mind. Even if by accidentally they reported something good, it would be short-lived. That's not how they make their money, by the way. They're the bearer of bad news. That's what sells. So he says, I want you to know, these counselors of yours, they couldn't show you the answer. Verse 28, what does Daniel say? But king, get a load of me. Is that what he said? But king, I want you to know all my education. I want you to know all that I've done. No. But there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets. There is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets. Do we have needs in our lives? God is the one that reveals what we need. And maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Thy dream and thy visions of thy head upon thy bed are these. And then he goes through and he answers all of this. But as for me, I want you to see something here. In fact, as for thee, O king, verse 29, thy thoughts came unto thy mind upon thy bed, what should come to pass hereafter. And he that revealeth secrets maketh known to thee what shall come to pass. He's telling you, I want you to understand what you dreamt about was what's going to come to pass. But notice verse 30. But as for me, this secret was not revealed to me for any wisdom that I have more than any living. Did you see that? I want you to know full 100% credit goes to God.
Amen.
But as for me, this secret was not revealed to me for any wisdom that I have more than any other living, but for their sakes that shall make known the interpretation to the king, and that thou mightest know the thoughts of thy heart. Now, we're not going to go through the interpretation. I'm going to call you over to verse 46. You can read that later, and the Lord tells them all the different kingdoms that were going to come till the end. But what I want you to see here concerning the Lord is all this wonderful truth, listen, was revealed to this king. Question, do you think the king was happy this day? Huh? Yeah? Let me ask you this other question. Do you think Arioch was happy this day? Even more than that, do you think those Babylonian counselors were happy this day? Woo! Praise Daniel! Oh, wait a minute. What? Where'd that come from? They were concerned about their skins, weren't they? But I want you to see that even though this great truth was revealed, this king had a limited understanding of the truth. It's until we take it for ourselves and walk in it, we don't own it. This man still is going to make a idol of himself for everybody to worship. That's yet to come. And until you get to Daniel chapter 4, you won't see the full conversion of this man. I believe this man is in heaven today because of the grace of God. But he had to eat grass like an animal for 7 years before what does it take? Amen. God knows. Look at verse 46 and look at what this king says. Then the king Nebuchadnezzar fell upon his face and worshipped Daniel. His direction is not in the right place. And commanded that they should offer an oblation and sweet odors unto who?
Daniel.
Listen, the king answered Daniel and said, of a truth it is. Now this is a true proclamation. Your God is a God of gods and a Lord of kings. That's himself included. Daniel was willing to give God that honor because this dream he had really, really bothered him. It disturbed him to where he had no sleep. If you were shook up like that, you would listen. And that's what God does to us. He lets us realize our sin. It's not this warm, fuzzy idea. Oh, yes, Jesus is the Savior of the world and I need salvation. Oh, I trust you, Jesus. No, no, no. Oh, no. No, no. It's not my time just to call upon you because I'm supposed to. I see my sin before you. And I see my direction. And you reveal to me that without you, I deserve hell. And so I run to the righteousness of God to forgive me for I can't help myself. You must save me. And God says, I'll bless that. So he says here, verse 47, then the king answered unto Daniel and said, of a truth it is that your God is a God of gods and the Lord of kings and a revealer of secrets, seeing thou couldest reveal this secret. So he's seeing, because of what he is seeing, he is giving God the honor and the glory, but he doesn't have it for himself. He's going to go in the book of Daniel. He's going to make an idol for himself. And we don't know where Daniel's at the moment. A lot of people believe he was in another location. And then there's three Hebrew children that were with Daniel that would not bow because they had more respect for God's authority than man's. We will not do that which God said don't do. Why? How could they do that? Listen, do you think it was because of the three Hebrew children or do you think it was because of the God of the three Hebrew children? Do you think Abraham was such a great and mighty man because he was Abraham or because of the God of Abraham?
Amen.
Do you think the Apostle Paul was so high and mighty and so wonderful and greatly used of God because of who he was or because of the God whom he served? You and I will never be anything for God unless we take our complete focus off of ourselves and what we think and give it wholeheartedly to God. and say, Lord, I'm going to hold you to what you've said you would do in my life. Because here's one thing I know, I can't do it. I can't do it. Of a truth, it is that your God is a God of gods. What does it take to see the truth? God. What does it take, listen, for you and me as his children to walk in that truth? Not determination, not rededication. It takes God. And the only way, it's an easy thing to do. Oh, it's horrible on the flesh. It's an easy thing to do, but the flesh hates it. The only thing you and I need to do to get God's attention is to pray and call on him. And be sincere and say, God, I am tired of my own excuses. And God's got to bring us even to that. I'm not, you know, we here's how we excuse ourselves. Well, God doesn't really expect me to do that like that. No, it's in his word. It's in his word just to take up space. I mean, he didn't really call me a royal priesthood, did he? He didn't call me a peculiar a people. He didn't say that I was to be holy because he knows I can't do that. Yes, he knows we can't do that, but he does know that if we'll call on him, he will do it. Where's the Lord's church today? Is it thriving or floundering? And by the way, listen, a healthy church is not a big church. A healthy church is a church that is walking with God. Amen. And experiencing God in their lives. Here's how we excuse ourselves. Well, let's send a bunch of missionaries over there and then I can just keep going my way. Let's have somebody else teach Sunday school. God is concerned about what we are doing personally, yielding ourselves to God personally and experiencing his grace in our lives, giving us the victory in our lives. If we had four or five people go out there and run buses and do all kinds of crazy fun things to bring in a crowd, listen to this very carefully. We can have some parties and we can bring in some young people. Here's the question. What will it do for you personally in your relationship with God? You want me to give you the answer? Nothing. Nothing. We'll say, oh, look at us. Praise God, but we won't change. Why are you saying that this morning, Brother George? Because you and I will stand by ourselves to give an account for our own lives. And it won't be what the church did unless that will gain any recognition or any standing with God. It will be what God did for you and me in our own personal lives. So more important than focusing on outside, on what others can do or should do, the focus ought to be is what is God doing in my life? You can't say that but for anybody but you. I can't say that but for anybody but me. Am I walking and being filled as God commanded me to be in the Spirit? He says, don't be filled with wine, drunk with wine, wherein is an excess. If I said, do you follow that commandment? You'd say yes, but there's another commandment that follows it. Be filled with the Spirit. Amen. That's a command also. You know why it's important to be filled with the Spirit? Because without the Spirit, we can do what? We can do nothing. So we can say with Nebuchadnezzar, of a truth, God is God. But what is that doing for me? Until I personally, as an individual, say, you know what, Lord? I need you. I need you in my life, God. I see what you've commanded. I know I can't do it. Listen, Lord, I need you in my life. Do we not? And so if we don't call on him today, I'm sorry to say, chances are we won't. I wouldn't want this message to stand before us. It is God's message. But I wouldn't want anybody to stand before the Lord and say, man, I should have listened to what God was trying to say. And now it's too late. And everything I could have done by the grace of God and should have done by the grace of God never got done because I excused myself. There's no excuse There is no excuse for anyone that calls themselves a child of God to not obey the Lord by His grace and power. There's no, listen, God says, I have blessed you with many talents. Don't bury them. I have blessed you with things to do in your life. Don't bury them or set them off to the side or cover them up and hide them and give them to the Lord as He gave them to us, because He plans for those things to multiply in our lives. And do you know what? Listen, let me ask you this question. Daniel and the three Hebrew friends that he had that were there, when God gave them the answer, do you think they were a little bit happy? Amen. Do you know that joy glorifies, that joy glorifies God? That was a personal revelation to their lives. You can get joy in the world, and there's nothing wrong with that. God wants you to enjoy the things in this world that honor Him, that are good. But the best joy that a child of God can get is what comes from Him to in our own lives. Brings us to worship. So let me ask you this morning. Do we have a need from the Lord today? What will we do about it? Let it go in one ear and out the other? Or will we say, oh God, it's not too late. God's not changed. God's still not willing that any should perish. Oh, but those are for the soul winners. If you're the church, you are it. You are the soul winner. You are the soul winner and the light and the salt in your life that nobody else goes into. You will go to places that I may never go to. You will run into people that I will never see. God expects you to be the light in that realm. By His power and grace, will we just shirk off that responsibility? And privilege, by the way. Why is it a privilege? Because we will say, praise God, what He can do. And that will change our whole understanding of who God is and wants to be in our lives. The invitation is the Lord's. The opportunity is always ours. Would you stand? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before Your throne this morning. Lord, I pray that You would reveal to our hearts and minds the great need that we have before You today. That we would not stand before You one day and Lord, not hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant, because You have given to us the Holy Spirit and Your guidance and Your desire to use us for Your honor and glory, if we would but call upon You. Lord, reveal to us the great need that we have as Your people. And then, Lord, if there's anyone that does not have the assurance of eternal life, may You open up their hearts and minds to see their need to know You and trust You personally, and not to lean on what they think, but to look to You alone. Bless Your invitation, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.